Good morning. Welcome to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. I have been filling in for Deborah Flora all week, so I'm glad to be here now with you on my very own show. We are back to another Saturday morning, 6 to 9 here on News Talk 710 KNUS with the great show up ahead. Yesterday I had the opportunity. I just had such a blast. I want to do it again. I want to replay it this morning. I had the opportunity to talk with Brent McCorkle. He is co-director of the tremendous Christian movie film. I got to say film. If Stefan's listening, Leroy, I'm just going to face the wrath of Stefan Tubbs if I don't say film when I'm talking about it, just as was the case yesterday. All I did was start adopting the term put forward by my guest, who's the co-director of Jesus Revolution. And, you know, I got blasted for it by Stefan. He likes the word film. And you know what? I think it's a professional thing. So the film Jesus Revolution is tremendous. I saw it Thursday night, and I spoke with co-director Brent McCorkle yesterday, right here on 710 KNUS. It really was excellent conversation about a movie that was better than I had even anticipated. And I had heard good things. It is outperforming dramatically at the box office. I strongly recommend it if you are, particularly if you are a person of the Christian faith. Very good. Kelsey Grammer stars in it as Chuck Smith. And the writing is impeccable. There's a pretty exciting family connection. My uncle Randy, his brother is John Gunn, co-writer of the film, of Jesus Revolution, along with John Irwin, who co-directed it with my guest, Brent McCorkle, who we will replay in just a bit, my interview with Brent McCorkle in a few minutes, just a bit on the program in the next segment. Then coming up at the top of the hour, good friend of the station, he's host of Crosstalk on KRKS, our Christian Talk and Teach sister station, Pastor Emeritus of Calvary, South Denver. Gino Gerasi is going to join us at the top of the next hour. He was there. So Jesus Revolution tells the story of the Jesus movement of the late 1960s, early 1970s, particularly in South California, Southern California. And Gino was in the tent. He became a Christian as part of the Jesus movement. He knew Chuck Smith, I believe, and that he knows Greg Laurie, whose tale is also told in Jesus Revolution. So I'm very much looking forward to speaking with Gino at the top of the next hour. We can continue our conversation about this important film, Jesus Revolution. Then coming up later on in the show, Iran recently struck a deal with Saudi Arabia, courtesy of brokered by the Chinese Communist Party. What's going on there? And it looks like we've got lobbyists for the Iranian regime heading to meet here in Denver. We are going to talk with Babak Behzadi, an Iranian immigrant, Iranian-American, who is also an activist and advocate for freedom in Iran. And he's going to call into the program, and we're going to speak with Babak about what's happening right now, coming here to Denver, what's happening in regards to Iran, an important issue that we cannot lose sight of amidst of China, especially with China. Like, this deal is less about the Middle East, I think, than it is about China and China building up its global power for the Chinese Communist Party. That's fundamentally the issue that is at play between Saudi Arabia and Iran, but it is concerning about the fact that after Donald Trump brings about peace deals with multiple Gulf Arab countries, clearly with Saudi Arabia essentially signing off on these deals. They had to. They're the power broker among Gulf Arab states. And Trump seals the deal with a number of countries with Israel in the Abraham Accords. And then Joe Biden comes into power, takes office as president, and undoes the policies of the Trump administration, restoring the policies of the Obama administration. And it is proving to be very troublesome in a variety of ways, even advantaging the Chinese Communist Party now. Deep concerns about that as we look ahead here with regards to China's power plays, Iran, and more. Meanwhile, one big story that's happening, Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, has moved ahead with upping their retirement age in France. And he moved that retirement age, I believe it was from 60 to 62. And that started a massive protest, riots even, going on in France. That's something, quite something, with regards to Emmanuel Macron, and now he's got a no-confidence vote that he's facing early next week, aimed at bringing down his government and killing his overhaul of France's pension system. So that's one bit of news. Another bit of news, it looks like former President Donald J. Trump expects to be the first president in American history, former or current, to be arrested. He says now, seeing this report coming through Fox News, that he will be arrested on Tuesday. Now, we are expecting an indictment, apparently, relative to the Stormy Daniels case. Of all things for Trump to be arrested on, it's going to be, at least according to the former president himself, tied to Stormy Daniels. Is this just the first of a series of legal battles that are not going to go Trump's way and that could result in a former president going to prison? I just can't see that. We'll talk more later on in the program about what's happening vis-a-vis Donald Trump. But that would be that genuinely, if this does indeed happen, genuinely, that will be historic. And I don't mean that in the good way. No matter who a former president is, it's not a good thing for the country for an arrest of a former president. Now, is it warranted? Maybe. I can't say. I don't know what the case is. I don't know what the evidence is. I don't know. We certainly know how they've gone after Trump for years and years. We saw with the dossier way back in the 2016 campaign. But I don't know. We'll pick up the conversation on that coming up later on in the program as well. Here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We are, though, going to go to a break early. And I want to go to the break. Leroy, I want to play this clip of the trailer for the new Christian movie, Jesus Revolution, that'll take us out to the break. And then when we come back, my exclusive interview with co-director of Jesus Revolution, Brent McCorkle, coming up in just a matter of minutes. A great conversation, and Pastor Gino Gerasi coming up at the top of the next hour as well as we continue. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hey, Square. I am not a square.
I think we should invite Greg this weekend.
What's this weekend?
These people are hippies, rebels against old-fashioned authority.
I think these kids need help.
What they need is a bath.
You're passing judgment on people you know nothing about. Maybe that's why your church is so empty.
When God walks in here, brings me a hippie, I'll ask him what it's all about. Because I do not understand.
This house has a very good vibe. There's an entire generation searching.
Slow down, man, slow down.
Just in all the wrong places. If you want to reach my people, you need to speak to them in a language they understand.
If I bring them in, I'm going to lose my job.
We can only walk through doors open to us. In your church, that's a door that's shut.
You've probably noticed we have some guests here today. I'd like you to meet my new friends. Welcome.
They don't belong here. Half of them aren't even wearing shoes.
They're staining the new shag carpet.
They need our help. If you feel like you're misunderstood and judged, you will find forgiveness and freedom right here.
That was awesome.
Now that door is open any time of day. And if there are some who don't like that, well then that door works both ways.
All right, Pastor, let's begin.
I was most done with this, but then you did what nobody else would even dare.
This thing that we found, I feel like I belong.
You're gonna need a bigger church.
Our country is a dark and divided place, but now there's hope and it's spreading.
This is your home, and I want you to tell all your friends about it.
Little Robert Craig kicking off the best damn bumper music known to man, nearly 10 years running the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, 710 KNUS. I caught up yesterday filling in for Deborah Flora with Brent McCorkle, the co-director of the great new Christian movie film, Jesus Revolution, and I wanted to replay that for you now. I am very excited to have on our guest for today's program. He is the co-director of the hit new Christian film, Jesus Revolution, which came out on, I believe, February 24th. It has resoundingly exceeded expectations as far as its success in ticket sales, bringing in a domestic gross, last I saw, of over $41 million. I had the opportunity finally to see the film last night, and Brent McCorkle, co-director of the film, along with John Irwin, joins me now. Good afternoon, Brent. Good to talk with you.
Hey, man. It's great to be on, man. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it. It's always great to talk. You know, I'm a musician, so when I could talk with somebody who's in that artist form, it's exciting, especially when you have a meaningful film like this. So before we sort of get into some nitty-gritty questions and whatnot that I've got in mind, what can you tell us as sort of like the big picture theme or message that you're getting across with the others in the film Jesus Revolution?
Well, it's a period piece, 1968 to 1971, and we find ourselves at similar times in America. It was so divided, so filled with hate, so much rage. You didn't feel like we were living in one country. You had the Vietnam War. You had the opposition to that war. You had massive civil rights protests and unrest. You had National Guard shooting students on a college campus because they were throwing rocks at Kent State. You know, you had multiple assassinations. It was just a very, very dark time for our country. And quite frankly, people thought the world was going to end. They didn't think we were going to make it through the 60s, and rightfully so. And today we find ourselves in similar social unrest, similar angst and rage, hatred, division. And this movie is a callback to love. This movie is a callback to kindness and acceptance and belonging and compassion. These things that I believe to be the core tenets of Christianity, but have gotten, I believe, kind of culturally marginalized in this time of hate. And so this rage and this division, it permeates our culture at large, but it's also permeated the church, unfortunately. And so I hope that people watch this film and something leaps in their chest that says, yes, I want to get back to love. And for a brief blip of time, you see these disparate groups, right? You know, you see these really square evangelicals allow these crazy hippie children
right.
to come into the church, and these disparate groups of humans like find this way of belonging and love and acceptance and empathy for each other. And the hippies bring in a lot of the love and the acceptance and the hope and the peace that the church needed. But the church also gave these kids a really safe place to land. And just a beautiful blip in time where you see love prevailing over
right.
everything. The distrust of the other, or the hatred of these kids by kind of the moralist, Christians of the day. And, you see all that facade fall down, and you see these people finding a way to love each other the way that Jesus loves humanity.
Yeah, so this chronicles the birth of the Jesus movement. Of course, Jesus Revolution was what was put on the cover of a very famous Time magazine issue, and that's where the movie name comes from. But known as the Jesus Movement, it very much included, as you were just alluding to there, Brent McCorkle, the hippies, who were not a group that you would necessarily expect to actually say, you know what, we're Christians. There's a certain view or vision that people have when hippies come to mind. You know, the liberal radicals, they're anti-war fanatics. They live in communes, just indulging in dangerous and erratic behavior. And yet here you have the likes of Lonnie, one of the central characters of the film, Lonnie Frisbee, coming into the life of Chuck Smith, who is portrayed by Kelsey Grammer, and really charting a new course for faith, particularly there in Southern California, but that has wide-reaching, nationwide, indeed, implications.
No, I agree with you 100%. Like, it's battery acid and baby formula, you know, trying to mix together culturally, right? And so I think that's what is so beautiful about our movie is I think right now I was on another interview and the DJ articulated it so beautifully, but she said, you know, we'd rather be right than living in love right now. And I was like, wow. So you have a pastor, Chuck Smith, who chooses to live in love and put down his preconceived notions about these kids and actually allow them to come into his church. And it was at peril. It was at cost of his career. And yet he really came to believe that it was the right thing to do, to include these marginalized individuals in society that didn't really have the same worldview as him. But, you know, it was Jesus and the love of Jesus that brought them together in this really special way in this brief moment in time. And I just think it's so great to point back to that for today because, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of things that we're finding reason to have rage or hate or, you know, animosity towards our fellow human beings. And so I think this film tries to challenge that notion and buck that notion and say, hey, what if we played this game instead? Like, everybody is made in the image of God, and someone may have a different worldview than you. That doesn't give you the right to hate them. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, love everybody, including your enemies. And so I like how our movie starts, because you really get a sense with Chuck that the hippies are a bit of an enemy to him, like these foreign invaders in his land, you know?
Right. Well, and so. In fact, Brent McCorkle, again, co-director of Jesus Revolution, I have a little clip that kind of lays this out. It is the beginning of when Chuck Smith meets this hippie, Lonnie Frisbee. Take a listen. We'll get you a reaction, Brent.
Hi, Chuck Smith.
Who are you? How do you know my name?
Oh, your daughter told me. And when she picked me up.
You tell me right now where my daughter is. Jeanette!
What? Here.
Who is this?
It's Lonnie.
Hi.
Hi. Would you mind just stepping outside for a minute, mister?
Not at all. Frisbee, Lonnie Frisbee.
Mister. Thank you.
Sugar by any chance.
What is going on?
You said you wanted God to send you a hippie.
I said that. But I did not mean it.
Dad, I am telling you, there's something about this guy. We talked all night. He pretty much blew my mind.
I spent the night with him.
He could be an axe murderer.
Anyone could be an axe murderer. Look, just listen for 10 minutes, and if you think he's crazy, I'll throw him out myself.
This house is a very good vibe.
So you could tell that there's some humor in the film, but Chuck's initial reaction, and he comes around pretty quickly, Brett McCorkle, but Chuck's initial reaction is one that you also see from some of these, shall we say, elders of his church who give him pushback when he invites Lonnie Frisbee and other hippies into their congregation because, well, isn't it a tale as old as the Bible?
Yes, that is true. That is true. I'm a little bit of a, you know, like a rogue out there or a bit of a black sheep. But for me, you know, my take on Christianity and the gospel and Jesus is it's such a beautiful invitation. It's such an inclusive thing. And there's just so much beauty in it. But it I think with religion, you can get into the trap of you need everybody to think your way and look your way, be your way, exist your way. And, you know, that's why we have whatever 4,000 different denominations of Christianity in the world, you know, and that's always just really sad to me. And it was very beautiful to see, you know, Jonathan Rumi. He's a hardcore Catholic, man. If you get on his Instagram page, he's just a Catholic dude. Kelsey comes from Christian Science. We had other actors that don't come from a faith background at all. And yet, it was a proving ground for the movie, but we found this beauty and this love for each other, and we made this beautiful film. But I think I do understand, right? Like, you know, you want people to make good choices and not do drugs and not fall into vice and all those things. But I think sometimes that gets up above this idea of loving everyone and treating everyone as Jesus would, right? So the moralist of the day, and Jesus encountered them in his time as well, you know, so
right.
You have like kind of the legalists and the moralists, and suddenly that's what they're making it about, instead of the stuff that's important. And so again, I just love this moment in time,
yeah,
because it really cuts through all of that noise and gets back to, I think, the core message of Jesus to the world.
It really is so much about embracing those who are considered outcasts or the stranger. And that truly is something that you see resonates directly from the teachings from the Bible, from Jesus Christ. And when we talk about films, too, and really trying to get these messages across, the way to do that is, of course, having a well-directed film. And by the way, I think this is an exceptionally well-directed movie between both you, Brett McCorkle, and John Irwin. You also have to accompany that with an excellent screenplay, and that's what you definitely get from John Irwin and John Gunn, who happens to be my uncle's brother, John Gunn. They did a phenomenal job in writing this script and giving so much to work with for you, and then John Irwin to go with the directing with the actors. Talk to me a little bit about sort of that process and how that unfolded for you from the creative side and from what you took away from the script itself, the screenplay, to then mold that into the film?
Man, I appreciate that question so much. I've done, I think, 7 projects now with John Irwin and his brother Andy over at Kingdom. And when I read John Gunn's and John Irwin's script, I thought it was some of the strongest writing I'd ever experienced coming out of the studio, the Kingdom. And I was like, I went to the guys, like, guys, this is really good. I immediately signed on. I loved the script, and it was so much to work with, but I was immediately intimidated because I'm a writer director. So the story didn't come internally from me at all. You know, it came from these guys, and everything that they decided to focus on at the time, I was totally on board with. And I just loved the direction. I loved how it moved, but I was presented with a problem of, okay, how do I now internalize this story and make it my own, because I didn't write it? So it sent me down this beautiful path that every actor has to go down, right? So the actor reads the script, they read the dialogue, they read the words, they read a character that a writer has architected, and now they have to figure out how to rebuild that character with their own architecture and like bring that out to the world. And so I definitely went on almost like an actor's journey with this story, because I had to get down to the core of it and have the internal elements of it become real for me as well. So yeah, you're right to call out the script. It was just, it was very, very well crafted, and they did a great job on it. And we landed. So, you know, it's really wild, but like, if you think about making a movie, right? Like you're going out to Hollywood and you're talking to all these agents and you're talking to people's managers and their reps, and that could be a production designer or an actor or a director of photography. You know, everybody's repped, and you know, you have one chance to cut through the noise and land a really good crew and cast, and that's with your script. You haven't made the movie yet. So the script spoke volumes, and everybody we talked to that read it was like, wow, this is a really cool script. This is a cool story. I want to do this, you know? And that's a huge testament to the quality of people that we were able to bring on the project and land the plane, you know? But that all comes from having a great script, because that's all you have to get your show set up, right, with these great people that you want to work with.
Again, Brent McCorkle, our guest, co-director of the film, movie in theaters now, Jesus Revolution, starring Kelsey Grammer as Chuck Smith, Joe Courtney as Greg Laurie, and Jonathan Roumie as Lonnie Frisbee. And it's through Lionsgate and Kingdom Story Company. Just a few more minutes with you, Brent, and again, appreciate your time. One thing, then I want to go back to the message of the film, but one thing that always fascinates me is when you are adapting history into film, when, you know, you can't tell everything, you have to decide on some things. Sometimes there are some characters that are in the real story that you don't put into the movie or into the television show, but yet you want to get across the fundamental messages. Talk to me a little bit about that. How is that process for you and working with the team, the writers and so forth, on adapting history in a way that is true to the story, but also, of course, you're going to take some creative license and that really is able to get the themes of love and belonging across?
Yeah, well, again, it started with the script. I was lucky to be, I was with John and Andy. We were just finishing I Can Only Imagine, and I did some of the initial research for this movie before I moved back to Nashville to take another project, but I put together a small phone book of stuff. But when I discovered that Chuck Smith actually washed the feet of the hippies that were trying to come to his church, but his church board were angry about it because they were tracking mud in on their, you know, their carpet that they love so much. When I read that he really did that, I had a bit of a meltdown. It was the most Christ-like thing I'd seen in modern times. And I remember going to John Irwin that day. I said, look, we can mess up every scene in this film, but if we get this scene right, it's a movie. And everybody's talking about revival and revolution and stuff, but I would encourage everybody to look at what Chuck did, you know, because, you know, it's easy to talk about, but man, that dude humbled himself and he like washed the feet of these hippies and because he wanted them to come to church, you know, it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. So to answer your question, there's like the essence of the thing. And that's what you're trying to capture in a movie.
Yes.
Like, we don't care if it happened on March 7th or June 14th of 1971. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is that we hit that emotional beat so that everybody understands, wow, Chuck actually did this. He actually washed the feet of these kids. So I can't recall. I'm sure we shuffled the deck. Like,
sure.
What we do is we usually lay out note cards and we're like, okay, well, that really happened in 1974, but we should put it here in 1969. And so we're not afraid to shuffle the deck on chronology, because you're also tasked with telling the most entertaining version of this without violating, you know, the main ideas of it. Right. So we just did all the research. We found what we thought were the great set pieces, and John and John wrote an amazing script. And I thought it was all really well done. And one thing that I think Aaron Sorkin said so beautifully, he said, if you want a photograph of something in time or a photograph of a character or whatever, do a documentary. But if you want a portrait, do a movie. And I thought that was really smart. So a portrait takes a little bit more license, you know, a little bit more creativity into the process. And so, but I will say, man, on our movie, the things that you would expect that we wrote using creative license, those are actually the things that are true.
Yeah.
We used a lot less creative license on this one, especially because you didn't really need to take a lot of it. All the pieces were there.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I did enjoy is you got the very powerful emotional parts of the movie, but you also have a good bit of humor that lightens up the mood just a little bit. I want to ask one more question. I know we got to let you go. Brent McCorkle, again, co-director of Jesus Revolution. And this will bring us full circle to the beginning of our conversation. I want to play one other quick clip. This is Chuck Smith and Lonnie Frisbee sitting down at the table.
You know, it reminds me of the words of Jesus. To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? I was up in San Francisco for a long time, living in Haight-Ashbury, on the streets all over. Man, we did everything and everyone. But that was the point. You see, the drugs, it's a quest.
For what?
For God. How can you not see that? There is an entire generation right now searching for God.
Everyone is accepted here.
One thing that you could see is that Chuck Smith sits down at the table with no expectations, or rather low, low expectations, and then he has a wow moment talking with Lonnie Frisbee and hearing his words there. But if you could, as we wrap up, Brent McCorkle, how does this fit into our present moment? Because I could hear Lonnie saying those words in the year 2023, not just in 1971 or whenever that happened.
Well, I think all of us are going to have to get serious again with our spirituality. Like, I believe in God, man. And like, if you do, that has to inform your identity. I think we have a lot of people in identity crisis. I think we have a lot of people actually putting their faith more in politics today than actually in their
Absolutely.
Faith.
Absolutely.
So we're on all these collision courses and dead end paths culturally that's tearing our nation apart. But if we find our identity in God, and you have to get down to the bottom of it and actually ask yourself, what is the nature of God, right? So for me, the nature of God is love. Love makes no sense in a Darwinian world. It doesn't. Like, you don't need it. You don't need it. Like, things die, they move on. You don't need to grieve. It's just we're all spreading our DNA around. But like, there's something about love in our world and in our universe that is a higher calling. And, you know, so it's embedded in scripture. You know, Paul said the three most amazing things in the universe, the highest things in the universe, faith, hope, and love. Above all of that, the highest is love. And, you know, the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long suffering. If we actually believe in these things, we'll begin to demonstrate these beautiful ideas and thoughts to the world. But right now, you know, it seems like the loudest, noisiest voices are really far away from that message.
Yeah.
And so to see Lonnie out hitchhiking, right? So what we couldn't get to in the movie, it's so beautiful, but like, he wasn't hitchhiking necessarily to get down to L.A. What he would do is he would run a track. He would do San Francisco down to L.A., and then he would hitch back up to San Francisco. And the reason why he was doing that was because during the hippie times, people would pick up hitchhikers because they felt bad for the hippies because none of them had any cars. So what he was really doing was he was hijacking the car so he could share his faith.
Of course.
So that's what he was doing. So he's the one who's out in desperation, man. He's the one like out kind of doing the spiritual mandate of Christ. He's out walking around, you know, sharing this good news, where Chuck is just kind of, you know, he's at home with his little ailing congregation in a place where he's comfortable, even though it's like a pretty miserable place for him at the time. But until we really get back to, I mean, Lonnie said it himself. He's like, until we get back to like a cultural desperation and really want to return back to the true nature of God, which I believe is love, then I think we're just going to be chasing our tail and continue to have this anger and this rage. And again, it's permeated all aspects of culture. And so to see also this hippie, you know, step into this really square guy's home, like that had to be a level of discomfort in some ways for Lonnie too. And so it really happened, man. It really happened. I mean, this square preacher in SoCal, lets this weird hippie itinerant evangelist like walk into his house and basically kind of lay down this gauntlet of what is real Christianity, man? Like, real Christianity is you opening your doors to these hippies. And until you do that, you're not really getting it, man. And so, I think a desperation around all of our identities, I think that goes out to the Christians and people outside the church. What is our identity? Like, I actually want my identity to be in it. My identity and the way that I present in the world to be rooted in the love of God, you know, and even for people that don't act like me, maybe don't behave like me, have reprehensible behaviors or whatever, you know, like, you know, Jesus said, I was in prison and you came and ministered to me, you know? And so hopefully I don't identify with the same behaviors as someone in prison. And yet it's our mandate to love that person as if they were a part of our family, as if they were a part of my biological family, you know? So that's my dream, man. And I think you see the characters in our movie display it so beautifully, and it's a love letter to the world right now. I feel like.
And Chuck says in one of his sermons in the movie, "This place, it is yours. If you feel like you're an outcast, then join us here." Brent McCorkle, co-director of Jesus Revolution, along with John Irwin, who co-wrote, John Irwin did the film with John Gunn. Really appreciate your time. I'm so glad I got to see it last night. Tremendous film, very well done, and I'm very glad to have you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Man, thank you so much for these questions. They were really, really powerful questions. And thank you for letting me talk about why I personally made this movie.
A powerful film, I think, deserves those kinds of questions. We need thoughtfulness, especially when we are talking about these themes that are so critical as embodied in and expressed through Jesus Revolution. Brent McCorkle, a pleasure. Best of luck with the film. It's already defeating expectations dramatically, and that's exciting to see.
Thanks again for having me on, man. It's really been fun. Thank you.
And it's made some $42 million so far, which is well above expectations. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. You're listening to The Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We'll take a quick break. Back on the other side on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. I'd love to play this one out. Take the time. Warren Haynes joining Reese Winans. As we continue the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, wrapping up this, the first hour of the program. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Brent McCorkle, co-director of Jesus Revolution. We're going to pick up on that conversation for a bit with Gino Geraci, pastor emeritus at Calvary South Denver, and of course, host of Crosstalk radio show on our sister station, KRKS. We'll talk with Gino, who was there as part of the Jesus Revolution. And then we'll also get to the news. Former President Trump expects to be arrested on Tuesday. We'll get to that story. Breaking news this morning, put out on Truth Social by the former president earlier today. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger, 710 KNUS. Stay with us.